Hello and welcome. I'm Jim.
And I'm Rich.
And welcome to show 18, recorded July 3rd, 2012, here on Rich's Random Podcast Generator. We cover just about anything we want, from group hangout conversations to tech product reviews to interesting interviews, all tech, all the time, all posted out at theaverageguy.tv. You can contact Rich or me via email at podcast@theaverageguy.tv. Or follow the show schedule on Twitter. That's just at TheAverageGuyTV, all one word. We also have all the links to automatically download or stream the audio or video podcast and videos if we have it, and we don't always record the video for Rich's show, in iTunes, YouTube, Zune, Stitcher, or many other podcatcher applications available. It's all on the front page of TheAverageGuy.tv. Of course, you can always find us on YouTube, iTunes, Google+, or even on Facebook, and we have a pretty good group going over at the Average Guy Facebook site. Some guys have come out there, and if you've got some tech questions, you can jump out there and ask them right there, join in the conversation. You can find those just by searching the Average Guy podcast, and please leave some comments, likes, votes, plus ones, any of those other helpful tidbits while you're out there. That's always nice to know when we're being helpful. All right, I mentioned a little bit early in the intro, in a brand new intro, I think we did okay with that, Rich.
I like it.
I'm joined by my co-host and namesake of the show, Rich O'Neill. Rich, how are you?
Good, Jim. Good. I'm looking forward to this podcast because, you know, I've been wanting to implement CrashPlan for a while. I've been testing it for a while, but I've, like, got one toe in the pool. I'm testing it on duplicate data, so if everything blows up, you know, no problem. The other day, I actually got over to my daughter's house, and that's really the big target. She's got photos of the grandchild, and she's got it on a server, but I want it off-site. So I got her hooked up to my server, but I'm glad that Nathaniel has offered to come in tonight because I would love to ask a few questions about how this all works.
Awesome. Well, Rich, you mentioned him. Let's introduce Nathaniel Lindley. He's Lindley, right? Lindley, I get that right? And he is, of course, first of all, Nathaniel, welcome to the podcast.
Hi there.
Yeah, great. Thanks for being on with us. Let me tell listeners how this all came to be, because it's kind of a roundabout process how we kind of got in touch with you. So right. Mario Blandini, of course, a good friend of mine over at Drobo, and a guy that I've worked with in Drobo for a couple years now. And Mario sent me a note and said, hey, I've got this guy that I'm on the Drobo podcast that you should talk to. He's a Windows Home Server guy. He's doing backup. He worked at CrashPlan. He's done all these things. You'll want to talk to him. And so it took us a week or so to get the introduction, but he sent me over your email, and we've been going back and forth. And I said, hey, I'd love to have you on our show, talk a little bit about what you're doing and what you've done. We'll get to the basics, but Nathaniel, take a second. Tell us a little bit about who you are, your background, where you come from, kind of how you got to this point.
Sure. Well, I'm in Minnesota, so we don't have earthquakes to worry about, but we do have tornadoes and floods and heat. So there's no natural disasters like on the coast, but we do have potential for loss. And I was a first grade teacher, and then I got into technology while teaching, and then I started being the computer guy at the school, and then I started doing computer support, and it was going really well. But my friend and I, a few years ago, were looking for a way to back up our kids' photos when we started having kids off-site. And at that time, there wasn't really good ways to do it. We tried using FTP or WebDAV, and it was just too much configuration. And we knew there had to be a way to use our bandwidth and our storage to get stuff backed up. And we found CrashPlan somehow and started using that for what they call social backup. And we would back up to each other using this app. And this was in the early days, and you could use it free or it was pretty cheap to get some advanced features, and just loved it. Loved the features, loved the simplicity, loved that it was cross-platform. And so we were using it several years. Then on Twitter, I saw that they were hiring, and it turns out that Code42 Software is a local company in Minneapolis here. And so I, took them up on it, interviewed, and started working there. And I worked there for over a year in their operations area. And I'm now back in the schools, not because I didn't like working for Code42, but now I have three children, small children, and it's a little bit more suitable for my schedule to be back on the school calendar. And so I did work with them for a while, and it was a really great time. And potentially, you know, go back and work there with them someday too.
Are they public, private?
They're still a private company. They were entirely self-funded until last year when they took their first round of venture capital funding, and I believe it was around $50 million. So every year that their product was sold was a profitable year. So they really were very careful about spending and developing and growing at a very controlled rate in order to make that happen. It's always been, we do things well, and it doesn't go out until it's really well, and we take our time to do it right. So they've always been profitable. And since I've been there, they've just grown exponentially, and I think are up to 150-some employees all over the world. Oh. They have most of it in Minneapolis, but they have offices in San Francisco and Atlanta and the East Coast. So they've been growing a lot, and they've split out. When I started with them, or when I started using their product, it was just consumer, the green little icon and social backup. And they started doing their CrashPlan Central data centers where you could back up to them also. Since then, they now have three lines where they have a consumer line, which is the same. Then they have a small business line, which is their blue product, which is for small businesses that don't want the headache of IT but want the offsite backup. And that's their CrashPlan Pro product. And that is a very flexible tool. And then they've released this last year, this CrashPlan Pro E for enterprise, which is the much more large, robust, you know, your company wants this product to back up all their mobile laptops and devices and everything. So they have three lines now.
Very cool. You know, you had said that earlier, and I was surprised. I remember, you know, Chris Lux and I on the Home Server Show mm-hmm. did the same thing. We had the same exact idea as you, right?
I don't think we were alone.
Yeah, about 2 years ago. We were like, hey, and CrashPlan came along, and I think we even called it social backup at that point. And it was, again, I don't know, something we came up with or we'd heard it somewhere. But Chris was in at the time at St. Louis, and I was here in Omaha, and we gave each other, I think, 100 meg of space, and it was on our home servers, and then we tested this idea of backing up to, you know, backing each other's stuff up, and I tried to hack into his folders, and he tried to hack into mine just to see if we could see anything, and of course we couldn't, and it was a great idea. We used it for a while, and then of course because we have, you know, we have our own storage and backup and cloud stuff, we kind of moved away from it, and kind of CrashPlan had fallen off our radar for a while, at least from a home server show perspective. But it has come back in the last year, or maybe a little bit more, maybe 18 months. It has come back with a vengeance, and I'm hearing more and more home server guys using it as their cloud storage because of the pricing is so reasonable. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, they're very affordably priced and comparable, and when they say unlimited, they really, really mean unlimited. Like, you know, who was it posted earlier, 1.7 terabytes up in their cloud. It's
we won't totally say his name so that they don't shut him down.
No. I think at the time, and this has probably changed, the average user is about 400 gigabytes, but there were some really big data sets, and you know, it's just going to keep growing. It's not going to get smaller.
They don't have any problem with that? I mean,
no.
Unlimited is truly unlimited for them. I mean, that's
okay. It's truly, truly unlimited. Now, they probably have some clause somewhere that says, you know, if you're totally abusing it, then, you know, they'll shut you down or at least ask you to slow it down or something. But, you know, if you can get it up there, they'll store it. And they're just growing. Their data centers are all over and...
Yeah, Nathaniel, I was going to ask, do you know, and I don't want you to, you know, I know you're still probably under some NDA, so I don't want you to give away anything, but how dispersed are their data centers? And if I was a user, I mean, it's just not like in one spot where if that goes down, I mean, if they have a little rainstorm and it takes out the power that all of a sudden you can't see Netflix, I mean, it's not like that, right?
I don't know what you're talking about. No, I know of three data centers in the U.S., Atlanta, Minneapolis, and San Francisco. They may have other ones that I don't know about anymore just because they're growing, but they're all, you know, the top level data centers with redundant cooling and power and multiple T1 line, not T1s, but whatever you call it now, they're fast fiber connections. I know when I was working there in Minneapolis, our data center, the one time we had problems was when the city of Minneapolis shut off the water to the data center, so the data center couldn't cool, and we had to shut it down to keep everything from overheating for a very short time. But nothing was lost. It was just unavailable for that short time. But now with the three data...
Something's backing up on Nathaniel then.
Your data is going to one station, but it can move. So you're not splitting your data up to different places. What's that?
Oh, we were losing a little bit of your last sentence. So back up. There was some, I said maybe something's backing up there at your parents' place. We lost your audio for just a second. Back up just a smidge and start over again for me.
Yeah, cutting out.
That's okay. We'll let things catch up here for a second and can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Good. So back up a little bit. You were talking about where their servers are and how they're located.
Oh, well, they're in, I know of three data centers, and I mentioned that they're the top level data centers with redundant cooling and heating and network connection.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
But
the data's not split, right?
Correct. So the archive from my MacBook is only going to one data center. It's not splitting up the files among the data centers.
Okay.
So if you had three computers, one might go to Atlanta, one might go to Minneapolis, and one might go to San Francisco. It's just depends on balance and network. I don't know how that decision's made.
And if that data center is down, it's just unavailable to you? Or...
Yeah, so if it were to go down... then you wouldn't be able to back up to it, and you wouldn't be able to restore from it. So one of the things they try to emphasize for people is don't trust just Code 42. Don't trust just CrashPlan's data centers, and that's why their product is multi-destination. So you can back up to a local USB drive right on your computer, and that's going to be super fast and always there and reliable. But as an additional safeguard, you back up to a friend or a family member, or you back up to their data centers, or you do all three, which is what do I do. So how I got into talking with Mario is that I use a Drobo at home for backing up my friends and family's computers. So I started with just a Mac Mini and a single USB attached hard drive, and it started to grow, and I added another hard drive, and it grew, and I didn't want to cascade multiple drives. So that's when I looked at the Drobo, and I have the Drobo Gen 2, just a simple 4-bay, as a single volume according to what the Mac file system sees, but it can grow and store all those archives.
And that's a 16 terabyte limit on that Drobo then?
Yeah.
You blew that out in the very beginning, and then you added drives to it as you went, right?
Yeah, well, I started with 1 terabytes, and I did start with the Western Digital Green drives, and they just didn't last, and so I had to RMA three of those over the years, and I've replaced them with the Caviar Blacks and haven't had a problem whatsoever with those. I like those Western Digital Caviar Blacks.
Yeah.
So now I have 3 2-terabytes and a 3-terabyte, so that gives me about 5.4. usable storage, and it's fine. I'm only using about 2.5 terabytes of backup data for myself and other people, so I have room for my movies and photos and things on there, and it just all runs off a Mac Mini server. And a thing that I found surprising when I talked to Mario is I did a kilowatt measurement of how much power the Drobo and the Mac Mini drew, and it was like 60 watts. As a light bulb for both the Mac Mini and the Drobo. So I thought, well, this was a good decision.
Yeah, from a power source standpoint, the Drobo shuts down. There's some pretty good controls in there that will allow you to spin those drives down if they're not in use.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say, I think because of the way I have it set up with about 20 different friends and family backing up, and it's always on, it's always writing data. And I go open it up and I see somebody's running maintenance or backing up, or there's always some stream coming in. So it's getting used all the time. And I think that's what hurt those green drives, is the constant small writes across the drives.
You mentioned the green drives in a post to me or something, and
yeah,
I've only used green drives in the two Drobos that I have, right? And I did lose one in there.
Yeah.
So I've had good luck, but I don't also have and maybe the secret is I don't have those constantly writing at this point, right? Mm-hmm. They've been on my own Windows Home server. I'm not constantly updating that. It runs a couple times a day.
I think you're right. That's it. I don't think the green drives are anywhere near as rugged and reliable as the blacks, and it's reflected in the price. I mean, I don't think they're giving us something for free. It's just not the same quality. So,
yeah, I would agree. I think they're good for storage and for infrequent mm-hmm. use. And I have two of them in my Windows Home server, and they're working fine there. But it's mm-hmm. it's much less intensive than my Drobo and the Mac Mini.
Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, and you've got redundancy. You've actually got 20 people or so backing up to your Mac Mini.
Yeah.
That is one busy Mac Mini.
I was a little worried about bandwidth, you know, because with Comcast you have that 250 gig cap. And so I started using the Tomato firmware on a Linksys, and it would measure the bandwidth, because Comcast would never give you any sort of indication of how much you use.
They just want to cut you off.
Yeah, and I switched to pfSense, and I've never gone above 250 in and out. So even with all those people backing up all the time, it's not been a problem.
That's interesting you said pfSense, because Mike Howard is a big fan of pfSense, and
He tracks everything through it.
Yeah,
it's another favored. When you said that, I was like, "Oh, there's another favored buzzword in our community."
Yeah.
Well, I'm not very proficient in it. I could get it set up and working and let it run, but
any issues with CrashPlan itself? Any kind of things that you saw that you reported in from things not with that many people backing up all at the same time? Any issues with that on your server? Anything weird happen in the process that maybe they had to fix?
The one bug is they had a release that didn't quite update correctly on all the Macs, and so some people have had to go back and download the new version and reinstall it. But otherwise, it's self-updating, so there really isn't much for my friends to do. That story is, if you bring your computer to me to get fixed, I put CrashPlan on it, and you're backing up to me before I give it back. Because I've recovered your baby pictures and things that you didn't want to lose, but you never backed up, and now we're going to take care of it. And so pretty much once I set it up, people didn't even know it's running, and they say, oh, yeah, I got an email from them saying it was working or something.
You just set up an account, a separate account for them?
Yeah, so they use their own account and address, and they set up their password, and we pick the pictures folder or whatever they want, and usually it's at my house, so they can do local LAN backup, which is real fast, and then they take it home, and it just trickles in over time, and a lot of them just do the free backup to me, but some choose to pay to go up to the CrashPlan Central also.
Wow.
But otherwise, I don't know that there's any limit. I keep wondering when it's going to not work. Being a Java app, it does use a fair amount of RAM, but that's all that's running on that Mac Mini. So it's just got 2 gigs, and I think CrashPlan uses maybe about 500 at most, but it's not like I'm trying to do something else on it.
So let's talk about that for a second. When you have that many people backing up to you, right?
Yep.
What was I going to say? When you want to, I just upgraded to Pro tonight, okay? So I can play with the settings that are
CrashPlan Plus?
Right, yeah, CrashPlan Plus, okay. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about what you're saying, and I'm looking at CrashPlan Plus go off every 15 minutes or so doing some backups, and I'm thinking, that can't be what's happening with the free version.
Correct.
So yeah. Is that a once a day deal, or what's up with that?
Yeah, I just posted the comparison chart because I forget.
Okay. All right.
And under data backup, the free version runs once a day or manually. So you can open it up and say, hey, run a backup right now. I just did some photo work. I want to make sure. But otherwise, it runs once a day. And if it misses its time, you can it'll pick it up the next time.
Oh, okay. And did you stagger? Like, are you keeping a chart of your friends, like 1 to 2 a.m.? No, you don't.
Well, the only thing I can do on the receiving end is I can say, don't run between these hours or run between these hours.
Okay.
But I can't control their backup frequency.
Well, I mean, if you had it in front of you and before you gave it to them, you could configure it, I suppose.
Yeah, right. You could. And at first I thought, well, I'll just run mine at night, you know, because then it's not using bandwidth during the day on my computers that are backing up out. But I noticed it wasn't making any difference if I ran it all day.
Yeah. This is amazing to me that you're not seeing any kind of bandwidth issues.
Yeah, I've been watching it closely because that was a big concern. And okay. I have my iMac is my main computer where my iPhoto library and documents and all those things are. Mm-hmm. And that backs up to 3 locations. And so that one I'm real concerned about. But one of the things they do is their data deduplication. And so the simplest way to explain is if you have a fly or a Word document that has a bunch of text and you back it up, it looks at that document and examines that byte level, the composition of that document. And then tomorrow you make some changes, add a photo.
Mm-hmm.
When it sees that the document has changed, it's smart enough to know it's a new version and it marks it as another version, time, date, stamp, but it only backs up the small amount of changes in the byte level version of that file.
So it's like incremental.
Incremental is a pretty good term, but it's just deltas, they call it. So
deltas. Okay.
You can make 100 changes to a document, but if each change is tiny, then it's only backing up the tiny little changes, and that's why once the bulk of your backup is done, the rest is small. It just trickles.
Yeah, you're talking about versions. Can you talk a little bit about maybe how many versions are kept? I mean, I'm not really familiar with this, so I think Jim and you are probably much more. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, the default setting, if you installed it and just signed up and hit go, the default setting is that when it backs up your files, you pick your folder, like your home folder.
Okay.
It'll back up everything in there, and it will never delete any file that you have chosen to back up.
Yeah, I see that.
Even if you delete it off your computer, it will retain the copy in the archive. There's two ways to have it not retain a deleted file.
Okay.
One is to set the backup versioning, I think is the term they use, to instead of delete never, to delete after 6 months or delete after a year. So if I deleted a picture on my computer and I had the setting to say delete it after 6 months, and 6 months later that picture is no longer on my computer, then it will purge it from the maintenance interval will run, and it'll purge it from the archive. So that's controllable. So if you, like on my MacBook, I don't have a lot of important stuff, and I don't have things I need to keep forever, so I set that pruning to about 6 weeks. If I don't need it and deleted it, 6 weeks later, I still don't need it. But on my iMac, photos, I don't ever delete anything.
Nathaniel, can I ask you to bring up the settings and go to the backup tab and then bring up, frequency and versions, right?
Yep.
And maybe could you kind of go down that, because I wasn't really clear exactly what these things are telling me.
Yeah. Give me a second here. I'll figure out how to screen share.
Yeah, just hit the screen share button and then choose the window that looks like that, the settings.
Right.
Window. Hopefully it'll be able to pick that up, and then I'll go full screen when you do that.
All right. Hang on. There we go. Screen share. Oh, there it is. Perfect.
Okay.
Oh, software updates running in the background. That's why.
Oh,
all right. You see that all right?
Yeah. That looks good.
Yep.
Okay, so this is the backup tab, and as you can see here, I have two destinations. So the files on this MacBook are going to my CrashPlan Mini, which is the little mini computer at my house. I'm not at home right now. And CrashPlan Central, which is their data center. So I've set it to run every 15 minutes or whatever, and it's going to run again. It found 10 tiny files that it's going to back up here. And I'm backing up about 12 gigs of data on this MacBook to both of those destinations. Here in the file selection set, this is the folder I want backed up, which is my home directory. Now I can change that, and I can say, you know, I don't want downloads. You know, I don't need to do downloads. However, this is the really important part, Rich, that you were asking about. If I remove this folder or files from the backup selection, it will remove them from the archives.
And you talked about a maintenance pass here. What one does that happen? Does it happen a certain time of day? Does it happen once an hour? This is, and you're talking about something that occurs back at CrashPlan Central.
Right. So on the computer that's storing the backup archives, not mm-hmm. my MacBook, but on CrashPlan Central servers or on my Mac Mini, once a week a maintenance task is run. Excuse me a second. Hey. And what that maintenance task does, I got a visitor.
No, that's fine.
Is it goes through your backup selection and says, are there any files that need to be purged according to the schedule that Nathaniel set? And if I uncheck this downloads folder, it's going to look at everything that's in the archive that was in the downloads folder mm-hmm. and purge it from the archive.
Okay. Do we know what day of the week that is, or is it just?
It's random.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. You can tell it to run. So okay. If I want to compact my archive, you can say run archive maintenance now.
So it's possible that I could delete a folder accidentally or reconsider my deletion and go back a day later and I might yep. still be able to see it.
Yep. Yeah, okay. I don't know the schedule on that. And
okay.
It's controlled on the server, I think.
Try not to make that mistake, but it's just nice to know it's maybe.
Well, possible. Yeah, and you know, the easy thing is just don't have anything get deleted. Just save it. It's all yeah. compacted and compressed. Yeah. One of the things that's really nice is the client does a lot of the work. So mm-hmm. my MacBook is doing the compressing and the encryption and chopping it into little pieces and sending it out. So the server end or my mini, all it has to do is receive that and just pile them into 4.2 gigabyte chunks okay. and then create chunks for the index.
Okay.
So what happens is second, Rich, if the mistake that might happen, if you don't understand what CrashPlan does, is say I, in my file selection set here, I chose photos, right? And I back up 200 gigabytes of photos, and I save it to CrashPlan Central or to my friend or whatever. And I say, all right, good, it's all done. I got my 200 gigabytes of photos backed up. Then I delete my photos off of my iMac because I think, well, they're all backed up. I can still recover those 200 gigs of photos because they're in the archive.
Okay.
But what happens is if you change this backup selection and unselect that photos folder,
right, you were saying.
Then maintenance will run and it will eliminate all the photos that were backed up.
Okay. So here's a question.
There is a warning.
There is a warning. Yeah, yeah. I think I've seen that warning because I actually tested that. So I delete a file on my computer, but not the folder. So it's still backed up in CrashPlan, right? So
yep.
Is that counting against my quota? It must be, right?
There's no quota.
Well, if it's unlimited, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, I suppose they have a 10 gig plan or something like that.
They do, and I just, yeah. you know, I just grabbed that. I don't think we said this during the show, but I just opened that up. Grabbed that just so I could test it out before we got to talking tonight. But
So that's the mistake that sometimes gets made is it's not like a jungle disk or an online
right.
disk where you
no,
put stuff
right.
up there and
some
it just stays up there.
Yeah.
It's really meant to be a backup of the files on your computer.
Okay.
Rich, you got the 10 gig plan. That's $1.50 a month, right?
$250.
Okay.
$250 because I'm just doing it 1 month at a time.
Oh, I gotcha.
And,
gotcha.
You know, yeah.
Yeah. So, but still fairly reasonable. And then the unlimited is $50 a year, which is, I think, the reason why a lot of guys have gone that direction because, you know, $50 over the course of a year isn't bad at all.
That's a crazy good plan, really.
Well, Nathaniel, so you're in there. You're showing us that the scheduler.
Yeah. So this backup frequency and versioning. So this part here says, look at my backup selection. And on the Mac, it watches Spotlight for file system changes. In any system or any file that's changed in 15 minutes, back it up. And then it keeps versions, you know, incrementally, and I didn't change any of this. You know, it'll purge them, the frequency of versions.
I'm not sure we're seeing the right screen from you. If you want to double-check your screen sharing, I think we're only seeing the background.
You know what? It's a pop-up window that it doesn't see.
Yeah, that I don't, I don't think it shares that.
Let me see if I can switch to it.
Yeah, so Google Plus, if you're or Google Hangout team, if you're listening in on our Hangout.
There's
a new window.
There you go. Oh, there it is. Yeah. Great. Awesome.
So that's default. One reason you might want to put this to an hour or longer is if you use if you have a really big database file, like a PSD file, or something that is complex enough that it takes longer to scan and verify changes, then you'd want to set this down to 30 minutes to an hour. But I just leave it at 15 minutes. All my files are small. Okay. I didn't change any of this stuff. It's too complicated for me to figure out. But I did say remove deleted files after 6 months.
All right. And remove deleted after 6 months. And that's a pretty good... Yeah, that looks pretty good.
I do on my MacBook. If I've lost it and I don't remember to go restore it in 6 months, it's probably not important. Okay. Now, my iMac, I leave it to never delete.
Okay. All right.
Good. Nathaniel, they're asking in chat about the ability to back up to a network drive. And that has been, you know, especially, so I have an FS, I have a Drobo FS as well, which I'd love to put on the network and then push, you know, that be the source for the backups. But it doesn't appear CrashPlan supports mapped network drives.
Correct. It never has, and I don't know if it will. And I know there's some workarounds in the forums where people have talked about how they get it to work, but I asked him, one of the guys about it, and he said, if I can remember correctly, is that the way Windows mounts drives as users, then the system and the CrashPlan backup service doesn't have the right correct rights to write to that mounted drive. So I think there's a way where you can mount drives as the system user so that the backup service, which runs as a system service, so if you log out, backup's still running. You know, if somebody's logged in your computer and you said backup Nathaniel's folder, you know, it's going to still run because it has system root level. Mm. And I think that's why on Windows the map drives don't work the same way.
Okay, that's good. That's a good answer. I think there's some, Yeah, no, I think it's a fair answer. I mean, there's probably some more details behind the scenes, but as you mentioned that, I do remember, you know, as you go off network on a PC and the client's controlling things, and so it doesn't necessarily have all rights to all drives at all times across the network. And
So any attached drive, direct attached, to work fine. Right. So like the Drobo over FireWire or USB, that's going to work fine, and on a Mac, any attached drive will work. I wouldn't use a like time capsule mounted drive to back up to, especially if it's wireless. It'll just take forever. So that connection between the engine and the data or the store where it's writing it needs to be pretty good.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. I mean, from a storage standpoint. So I could get away with something as small as a 2 terabyte external drive attached to my PC, and I just point the CrashPlan backup destination to be on that external drive, right? And then everything's going to run to that. I could run anything that's attached via any of those connections. Now one of the problems I've had, I did run the CrashPlan software on my Windows Home server because there's all kinds of storage there. We built those things to be monster. It actually crashed my home server. Have you, and I know CrashPlan doesn't officially support Windows Home Server 2011. Have you heard of or know of any problems running that on server 2008 R2?
No, I knew it was more work with version 1 of Home Server. It was quite a workaround. And I don't run it on my 2011 server because I haven't gotten to it. I don't have a need because I got the Mac Mini running the Drobo, mm-hmm, right. But I want to play with it. But I know it is possible. So I have a friend that I back up to, and he runs his crash plan on his home server, and that's where I back up to his destination is on his 2011 server. And I asked him, and he said, no, I just remoted in and installed it. You know? So I'm not sure.
It could have been a bad install. I tried it one time. It hosed everything, and I had to, and then I just basically reinstalled 2011. I mean, the beauty of 2011 is that the data drives are really independent for the most part. Right. And so I was pretty quickly able to kind of reinstall 2011 off of a flash drive. I had a backup. You lose your settings. But I try not to customize too many of my settings to begin with. I try and leave it as base as possible, just for that reason. But I wanted to throw that out there a little bit. We've got a lot of Windows Home Server listeners, and want to say they can install it on 2011. Although, do you know, is it officially supported on that platform, or does it matter? Or
I don't think it's officially supported, but I know a lot of people run it.
Yeah, fair enough. And I imagine I know some guys that have a 2008. R2 box that they're running as a domain controller or whatever. Yeah. I mean, it could run on that as well.
Yeah, that's fine. And we use the CrashPlan Enterprise product at work, and I have one running on a Linux, just an Ubuntu server in our VM sphere, and then a second destination running on a really, really simple 2008 R2 box, and haven't had any problems with that. So the server, even the Enterprise one, can run on different platforms as well.
And do you have, so in your local, your LAN there, if you have multiple PCs backing up, I notice there's a family plan as well. Are you on the family plan, or are you using the same account?
Yeah. Well,
I put you on the spot.
I got the 3-year family plan because it gives you up to 10 computers. So.
Yeah. Okay.
And I just purged one that I had, an old Windows XP box that I had backed up a couple years ago, and I was looking at the reports, and it hadn't backed up for 2.5 years because it's been dead. And so I finally restored all the archives and files from that PC into a flat files, and then I purged it from my account. So even though it hadn't talked to the system or backed up in over 2 years, all the files I could restore back to, anything, any one of my devices, and then have those back. Now I got to go through those files and figure out which are duplicates and do I really need them or not, but it's there for the long haul. And I think someone asked in the chat about backing up over LAN, and it does have the ability to back up locally, so if you have two computers in your LAN, it'll back up much faster. It doesn't have to go out to the internet and back down. Mm-hmm. And it just auto-senses that.
Right. Yeah, I think that was one of the nice things that attracted me to it originally, is you could do all this for free for them, except to the servers, right? Everything, the software is free to use, and they don't seem to mind that you've got all this traffic moving around all over the place, and you're using their software basically for free. And I know the upsell at that point is to move it up to the cloud, and at $50 a year up to the cloud, that's a pretty good deal to get unlimited backup. So even at that price, that's a pretty good option. Nathaniel, look in chat real quick. Greg Welch is talking about increasing. And Greg, that link you put in didn't work very well. But do you have to increase the allotted RAM that you know of? And is this on the server version, Greg?
Yeah, I'm guessing he's talking about a server.
We'll let him get back to us here.
I've never heard of that happening. I'm not real. Yeah. Talented with Java or development. So I know it uses RAM quite a bit, but I haven't heard of increasing it. That's an interesting thing.
Yeah. And so, it doesn't sound like a lot. It sounds like you go from maybe 512 up to 768 or 1024, and people are saying those just as little as that will help you.
All right, so from a client perspective, pretty easy install, set it, forget it kind of deal. You'll get your backup going. You can either back it up to a PC in your house, or you can set it up to their cloud, or do both, right? I mean, you can do both simultaneously.
Yeah. So how it chooses your files, it prioritizes by the most recent small files, figuring that those are the ones you just did. So if you have a huge data set and you're starting it for the first time, it's going to do your most recent small files first and work its way backwards to your oldest large files. So one of the services they offer is what they call seeding. So if you're going to back up to them and you have a terabyte of photos, you can order a hard drive. They ship it to you. You back up using CrashPlan to that hard drive. So what gets stored on that hard drive is the encrypted files. Send it back to them. They put that into the data center. And then next time your computer syncs up, it says, oh, I'm 90% done already.
All right, so crazy question. Could I do that with a friend?
Yeah, you can seed to a friend too. So there's a feature in the interface where you say attach a backup set, and it says, okay, well, point to it, and you've copied it to whatever storage you're using, and then it sees it and says, okay, this is so-and's, so your friends, yeah. It's under friends. Under the friends tab, it says, bring a friend's backup archive to this computer and attach the archive folder.
Oh, right there. Yeah. Wow. That's
so crazy. You can seed, you know, across country or down the street.
That is great.
And it works the other direction too. So if I had a fire, you know, everything in my house was gone, I could get a hard drive, give it an empty hard drive, give it to my friend. He would copy my backup archive from his Windows Home server to that external, and then I would take it back, and then when I got a new computer and CrashPlan running, I'd say, okay, here's my backup archive, restore all my files.
You just have to log back in under your account.
Yeah, under the same account. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Wow.
And they'll ship you a hard drive too if you have a terabyte with them and you need it back right away. They'll copy it to a hard drive and ship it to you overnight also.
Man, the more I hear about this, the more impressed I am with it. So.
Well, I was awfully impressed when I worked there. There are some really, really smart people working there, and I think they have four tenets of development, and I know, remember, the first one is always security, and that's a huge concern to their enterprise customers. If we're storing all this data offsite, how do we know it's really, really secure? And so that's
and you've
one of
got some heavy, like 448-bit encryption?
You can use the really strong stuff.
Yeah.
In fact, I set the encryption. I think this. I'll make sure that this is with CrashPlan here for a second. I think it was. I set the encryption level, and then I forgot my password.
Oops.
And there's no way to get that back. They can't even reset it for you.
Yeah. So that's the Steve Gibson Trust No One setting.
Yeah.
Where you can set your own private encryption key.
And I did that. Yeah.
But yeah, they do warn you. If you do this, it's not on us if you forget it.
It had been a while since I'd used it. I was coming back. So the email account that I use the most is now kind of locked out for the most part. Because you can't if you go to restore anything, it asks you for that password. And I'm like, I'm gonna have to open it under I'm gonna have to start a new CrashPlan subscription under a new email address.
Yeah.
Some kind, and then not set that, or at least if I'm going to set that security piece, remember what the password is. I've never done that before, but I did it on CrashPlan. I was kind of bummed.
Yeah, it's hard to keep track of them all.
Well, Greg did say, real quick while I'm looking, we have this in the Home Server Show forums. He had worked, it kept crashing on his 2011 box, and he did call support, and they did ask them to increase the memory. For that particular app. I'm not as familiar with this, Greg, so I'm probably botching this as we go. But Mike said he increased his to 4 gig, or I mean to 4 gig.
1024.
Yeah. He bumped his all the way up, and that helped get that done. So.
Rennie in chat said that you losing your password, you should have stuck it in LastPass.
I wasn't using LastPass at the time. Rich, any other questions on CrashPlan? I want to talk a little bit about his Drobo experience. But
nope, really what I wanted to do was I wanted somebody to make me feel more comfortable about this, and I think some of the things that Nathaniel talked about and some of the questions, yeah. No, thank you.
And we'll drop a link in the show notes about that post over at the Home Server Show. If anybody's listening to this and they are going to put it on a server version, mixed results. Mike Fauché has running it on server 2008 R2 and didn't have to do that. Greg had to do that on the 2011 box, so there's maybe a little discrepancy there between the two, and that's not the right word to use, but a little difference. We'll leave that up to your own individual server environment, and you can make the choice to do that if you choose to or not, but we'll try and get that link in the show notes for you as well. Okay, so CrashPlan, we got through that. Great product, and maybe get some folks interested in using that. Nathaniel, you had a good shot at Drobo in this piece as well. I've been a Drobo enthusiast for a long time now. I love the fact that, especially when Drive Extender was removed out of home server, and I'm the average guy, right? I don't like to monkey around with a bunch of, you know, setting things up in RAID, and I got to add an extra card and blah, 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 blah. That was, I don't want to say it's too difficult for me, because I did do it, but I don't prefer that. I love the easy set it and forget it, slam some drives in and be done with it in the Drobo. Tell me a little bit about your experience with that, because you've been running these for a while. You said the green drives.
The green, you know, who knows? That's my theory of why they crapped out.
Sure.
But
yeah.
The refurbished ones I got back, I use in my Windows home server. So,
and maybe it wasn't the green drives themselves, but like you said, they're not intended to be running full time in the Drobo. The way you have the configuration, they are running full time. So, you know, so maybe it's not the Drobo killing them, but it's the guys are going to give me crap about this out in chat.
To be fair, one of them was marked bad by the Drobo, but I've never lost any data on the Drobo, and I've always been able to take one out and rebuild. And what I've done is when I take the green drive out, is I'll run, you know, some smart analysis test and sectors, and it falls below the threshold that I want to use, and that's when I send it back. So they weren't exactly failed, as in the Drobo kicked them out. I just didn't feel like they were performing as well, and they had a lot more errors than other drives in the Drobo array. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for the years that I've had it, I haven't lost any data, and I've been able to grow it, you know, by adding new ones and even a 3 terabyte in there now. So I've been
able to update that firmware so that mm-hmm. device would support. So you had it before the firmware came out to support the 3 terabytes. You updated that firmware without any problem.
Yeah, I was a little nervous. So I had a second external hard drive hooked up, and I moved some of my more important archives. I moved mm-hmm. them from the Drobo to a second external disk before doing mm-hmm. that update, just in case. But nothing happened. And that's something you can do, by the way, with CrashPlan, is you can take an archive, and if it's on disk A and you're running out of space, you can put in a new disk and move the archive through the app to another thing, and it'll do a copy and a sync all in the background for you. So, but that's convenient. The Drobo has just been
for maintenance,
reliable.
That would be really convenient, right? If you need to take some disks down or do something, you can shift them over. How long did it take CrashPlan to move those files over for you?
Oh, it takes a long time.
Okay.
Yeah, but so, I don't know if that's the Drobo or the Mac Mini. I mean, it's pretty old hardware, so.
Right. The Mac Mini, you just kind of set. Yeah, well, we know. I mean, let's be honest. We know the Drobo is not the fastest thing in the world.
No, it's slow.
The next one, right?
Yeah. I want to get my hands on one of those.
Yeah. Have you seen those? I mean, I'm sure Mario talked to you about them.
Yeah, I've only seen as much as you have, so.
Yeah. They're supposed to be out any time, and with the mSATA connections, and you know they're doing some SSD trickery to really speed those up. So I'm hoping. I was talking to Mario just a couple weeks ago, and I said, hey, I need to be on the top of the list for evaluation of those things and do some testing on them. And so hopefully, I know they're pretty, you know, they're having trouble. Just they've sold a bunch of them already, or whatever. He's having trouble getting one to me for evaluation purposes, but. So did you think, now certainly I have a Drobo S, it's USB 3, and I do get some better speeds out of that because we've moved the architecture from USB 2 to USB 3. I've had some trouble with it being stable in USB 3, especially because I have to use external cards to make that work. I've attached it to the home server here, and it's stable for a while, and then Windows Home Server will make an update, and then it becomes unstable. Did you experience any stability issues with the Drobo when you had it attached to the Mac?
I'm trying to think. I have it using a FireWire cable right now, 400 to 800.
Yeah.
So I got about the slowest connection possible. and I think I had problems when it was on USB. And so that's why I switched it over to an unused FireWire port.
Okay.
But it's been a long time, so I can't really tell you what was causing the problem, whether it was the Mac Mini or the operating system or...
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
Okay. Otherwise, you know, on FireWire, I haven't had any problems, but I've heard of people saying that it just drops off unexpectedly.
FireWire?
Yeah.
Or the Drobo?
The Drobo.
Or both, yeah.
When it's cooked up at FireWire. And
okay.
I don't know. Well, I have my... The Mac Mini's on all the time.
Okay.
So...
And that's been a good combo for you.
For me, yeah.
So what is your thinking ahead? Certainly, you know, you're thinking about what I'm going to do next. This hardware is not going to last forever. Do you have anything kind of in mind for what you're going to do for the next version?
Well, you know, I'm debating if I get a Drobo 5D or whatever the new Thunderbolt one is, then I'll have to get a new Mac Mini maybe to hook it up to. But okay. I've also thought about putting it, having the central repository be the home server and get rid of the Mac Mini. But at this point, you know, it'll take a while to move all those archives. I don't really have a need to move right now. As I get more used to the home server and trust that more, I may move some stuff there too and then not have to have as many machines on at once.
You're running 2011 at this
point?
Yeah. And I assume you have less than 2 terabytes of data that you're, or how are you handling that issue with the 2011 box?
Well, I've got 4 or 5 drives in there. And I'm using the stable bit drive pool.
Oh, okay.
But I'm only marking the documents collection or server folder as redundant. The rest is just extra recorded TV files and RIP movies, which I don't need redundant, but it's nice to have it in one pool, one map drive.
In your experience with stable bit drive pool has been
positive? I haven't had any problems with drive pool. The scanners marked one drive as pending failure or questionable, but then the home server, what's the plugin name?
Smart.
Windows home server. Yeah. Smart Reporter says it's fine. So.
Okay. Well, and if you're confident that you could lose that drive and it's backed up somewhere else, then I think it's okay to let it go. I had StableBit Scanner mark my OS drive as bad. Hmm. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, okay, I better. And this was actually back on version 1. Mm. And we did a meetup in Wisconsin for the home server show, and I took it with me. And sure enough, while I was there, the OS drive went down. I was ready for it, so I was able to put it back together. And so that at least warned me, and I backed everything up ahead of time. Do you have any of those drives in RAID, or are they all just straight, just single drives?
No, I got a board that had 6 SATA connections, so I just have them all there, and then I use drive pool to join them, if you will.
Yeah, and how often do you install the updates that they
when I get around to it? Okay. Not every time. I wait for a while.
He is a busy guy over there.
Yeah.
And Alex seems to get those updated quite frequently, which is great that they continue to work on that software and get it updated. But
yeah, and I you know, I was really impressed when I was looking at it. Their website's so clean and intuitive. You read it and you can figure out what it's doing, and the install is simple. So I thought, this is nice. Simple, clean, does what it says it does software, and I like that.
And have you looked into DrivePool in Windows 8 server or 2012 server now?
No, I haven't even installed the beta yet. I haven't caught up with that stuff.
That's fine. There's a lot out there with that. We at the Home Server Show have begun to start, you know, looking forward to see if maybe that drive pool will be built into the next version, whatever that happens to be for Home Server. And so I think there's some things. It's untested, and it's good to hear that stable bit's working for you. We don't hear from too many people that are having positive experiences. We just don't hear from a lot of people. So it's working for you.
Well, I'm not a super heavy user there, so it's, you know, this is my experimental box, and you know, I can mess with it. If it fails, it's not the end of the world.
Right. So your buddy on the other end having an equally positive experience, any trouble between the two making it work?
No, he keeps it running. He keeps going back between version 1 and 2011. And he'll go to 2011 for a while. Oh, they like this, but I missed this. And then he'll go back to version 1 and then...
Yeah, yeah. What about his is he using the same, you may have said this already, is he using the same equipment on his end to back up through CrashPlan?
No, he's got one of those HP microservers.
Oh, okay.
For his home server.
All right.
Oh, but then he's also got a Mac Mini and a MacBook Pro. So
and he is, what's he using for his storage? Is just the drives in the microserver? The reason Rich is laughing, because if you've listened to us before, you know
I know you guys love the microserver.
Right? We all own them at this point. We all talked each other into buying them. But so he's, what's his storage? It's internal, or is he using
I think he only uses internal in there. And I know he had a green drive fail, and I think they sent him a black because they were out of greens or something on their RMA. But you know, drives fail, you just get used to it.
Yeah, they do.
Well, that's why you do this backup and you have redundancy, right?
Yeah.
So, hey, can I jump in here? Yeah, I just had a question here about streaming movies and crash plan throttling. And I'm looking at the settings, and it says user is away, use up to 80% CPU, user is present, down to 20%. I'm logged off, but I am streaming a movie from my server. And this isn't really per se a crash plan question, but what is crash plan seeing? Is it seeing like I'm logged in? Or is it seeing? Is it monitoring the CPU and seeing that it's streaming disk activity in the server? So
I don't think so. I think it has to do. Yeah, I think you have to be actively using it, like mousing around, and that means that I'm using it. I think if you're running something in the background, like compiling movies or something or streaming them, I don't know that it'll see that as user is present, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking in my case, since I'm pulling data, and we're on, I'm on DSL, which is dog slow, and she's on a fairly slow Wi-Fi from her landlord. It's not bad, but it's not very fast. So we're probably not going to be pegging the CPU anyway with anything I'm pulling from her. I mean, she's my main concern as far as like this plan goes right here.
So what you could do for the college student is if you set them up with the plus account so that they can back up more frequently and just whenever they're online, you can have her back up to you, but then you can also give her an external drive to plug in once in a while and have that as a second destination. And whenever the crash plan app sees it, it'll say, oh, here's one of the destinations that is previously unavailable. I'm going to back up to that. That'll run real fast. It'll do all the versioning. And then you unplug it, let it sit in the drawer for a week. You know, you can go back to the old backup, you know, routine. But then in the meantime, you can do the online backup.
I'm getting an idea about setting a Cronus, backup a Cronus to a folder and let CrashPlan back that up too.
Yeah, that could get kind of big. I mean, it's really meant for data sets and files. You could back up a image of a computer.
Yeah,
I don't know if it would see a new version of the image as a new file. That's an interesting question. I mean, they don't do bare metal restore, so it's not a duplicator backup service.
Yeah, no, no. I was thinking like, but if I'm doing incrementals, then it'll get like a new file like every day or whatever. So it would probably back that up. You know, that's what I'm thinking of. And then Acronis is managing, you know, every so often it'll delete whatever, you know.
Yeah, that could work.
The settings were. Yeah. But it has no problems with large file. I mean, over LAN it has no problems with, you know, like, you know, 40 gigabit files.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, we've reached our hour. Rich, any additional questions? Nathaniel?
I am sold. I'm just going to go out and spend all kinds of money on everybody's going to get hooked up with CrashPlan now. It's going to be great.
Hey, I wish I still got stock or something.
Or commission. Yeah. On the you offer a coupon code. Boy, the plans are cheap enough or reasonably priced enough that folks can go out there and get involved in that. You know, just this last weekend, right before I went to Colorado, I had a friend bring his laptop over, and it had a serious virus on it, and it locked me out of everything. It locked out the Wi-Fi. It locked out the drives, locked out all the USB ports, wouldn't let me into anything. I couldn't, I couldn't get anything off the laptop. And it ended up, and so I said, how's your backups? You know, asked him that question, how's your backups? And he said, well, I think I did a backup to an external drive about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I said, okay, so I'm going to get pretty aggressive with this thing, and I'll do some backing up. So I pulled the, you know, so is that okay? He's like, yeah. So I pulled the drive out, I put it in my dock, I start backing it up, and it will not, the admin, no, the user folder that had all the documents was locked out. Would not let me in. I didn't, as I was moving those files across, I didn't see that. And then we reformatted the drive and started over on that drive. And, of course, mm-hmm. went back later and realized either the virus or security or something. She had no password on there, but wouldn't let me move any of those files. So I said, hey, you know, so I gave it back to him, and the backup didn't come with the files he was looking for. And so I said, well, you can go to your backup, can't you? And he goes, oh, actually, I looked, and that backup was, like, last August. And I'm like, oh, you know. And so it does highlight the importance. This happened 2 weeks ago, right? I see this happening all the time. This does highlight the importance of backing up to begin with, backing up to multiple places, too, and then test your freaking backups. Make sure that they're working. Do you ever, with CrashPlan, do you ever go and pull anything and just make sure it's getting something?
Yeah, the restore feature is pretty easy. You can do it from any client. If you back up to their data centers, you can do it from the web, and you can do it from your phone. So I was at one of my son's conferences, and I needed a PDF that was on my iMac about his accelerated reader scores, and I was able to pull it up through CrashPlan on my phone because I knew I had it on the iMac, and I was able to look at it right there with the teacher in the conference. So that mobile nice. Connection is kind of handy, and it features an, you know, on the go.
Yeah, a good idea to test that backup from time to time, and just make sure it is actually backing up what you think it is, so you can get those kinds of things back.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, Nathaniel, thanks for taking, it's a little bit of a holiday, pre-holiday weekend. Thanks for taking an hour to be with us tonight. Thanks for your knowledge on this. It's kind of nice to have an insider at CrashPlan, although you're not there anymore.
Not anymore.
You still kind of, you were able to speak about it with a lot of clarity, and so we appreciate that. Thanks for taking your evening away from your family and doing that for us. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you. It was fun.
Rich, thanks again for naming this thing Rich's Random Podcast Generator. And for folks, we haven't done one of these in a while. If you're listening to this for the first time, of course, you can head out to theaverageguy.tv. We have a whole host of podcasts over there, as well as the Home Tech Podcast that we do every Thursday night right here at theaverageguy.tv/live and a bunch of guys talking about technology. And if you'd like to join us for that, that is always a fun evening. We start that. You're laughing at that, Rich.
Yeah, I'm laughing at getting Nathaniel back again. Greg Welch is out there with Welch Works.
Let me know. If you want to jump back in at any point in time, just send me an email, and we'd love to have you back on. Yeah, we can talk about if you get anything big, new, that kind of stuff.
Or when let's argue about stuff. Point, counterpoint.
Yeah, there you go. We'll have you guest in a we'll do CrashPlan versus Acronis or something like that.
The big competitors like Mosey and Carbonite.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. There you go.
That's the right one.
Yeah. Remind folks that if you have comments or questions for us, just send us an email, podcast@theaverageguy.tv. And, Rich, we don't have another one scheduled yet, but watch the Twitter account, The Average Guy TV, for the next Rich's Random Podcast Generator. And we'll do it all again. Actually, we'll do it Thursday night. We'll take a night off for the holiday, and then we'll do it again Thursday night with Home Tech. We're back on track. And so thanks for coming out tonight, guys. Appreciate it. Nathaniel, thanks. Mm-hmm. Everybody have a good night.
Thank you.
Okay. Nathaniel, thanks. That was awesome.
Good.
I appreciate it. Yeah.
Really.
Did you get any feedback from the Drobo podcast? Anything?
You know, I watched it or part of it again myself just to see how I sounded, and it was fun. It's easy to talk about, and Mario's a good host, but I haven't heard anything otherwise from it. Okay. I did ask him for, you know, some review units of the new Drobos. And we just got a B1200i at work, so.
Oh, really? Yeah, I have not seen those the enterprise grade.
They look great.
Yeah.
I mean, again, simplicity, but redundant, big storage, and they seem pretty affordable to me.
Yeah. Well, I'm very excited about what they have coming, and I think they've listened to all of us complain about the speed, and some of the engineers have figured out. Well, I mean, we're on all our enterprise systems. We're moving to SSD on a large scale at Gallup for our large data sets, because that SSD, if we cache it right, that stuff is nearly instantaneous.
Yeah.
And so they're taking that large scale EMC with SSD, and they're making it smaller and affordable for the consumer. And so I'm pretty excited to run some benchmarking against that thing and see. It's always going to be slower than just a single drive because it's got to do stuff, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's doing stuff to protect the data, but hopefully things will have picked up. Okay, Nathaniel, we'll let you go. We know you got family. I don't want to...
Yeah, we
got
to go see the fireworks.
Yeah, head out there. So thanks a ton. Thanks for coming in. And Rich, hang around for a minute. We'll shoot you an email and let you know when the podcast goes live.
Cool. Thanks, guys.